what is leadership in the church versus what is leadership out in the world? Now, granted, I would give you the fact that leadership, from a Christian perspective, is something that can work in any avenue. It's something that Christ gives us as a blessing in our lives, something that we can carry out and utilize, whether we're a coach or a teacher, whether we're a manager or just somebody who processes paperwork. Whatever the case is, we can use these ideas of leadership in our lives because we are truly called to be leaders in communities. Because we are called to a higher moral standard. We are called to this relationship in God. And as such, we are called to lead others to Christ. No matter how you cut it, whenever you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are accepting a leadership position in your life. And people will look to you for guidance and understanding. So last week we talked about this calling that we have, that even whenever you think you don't have the skills to do it, God has certainly blessed you with those skills. And so as we question ourselves, we do so because we don't want to question God. But in reality, if God is calling you to leadership, if he is calling you a position, then he has given you the capacity to do so. And so to question ourselves would be to question God. So knowing that we have been called to lead in our lives, what tends to happen is that people put in a leadership position, well, oftentimes we tend to revert to management principles or management ways of doing things. Briner and Pritchard wrote a book called The Leadership Lessons of Jesus. And they found that Jesus was, as you all may be very familiar with, a great leader and a great manager. As Isaiah 55:4 says, "Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples." So, of course, we know that Jesus is good at both of these areas. He was good at managing the people that followed him, but he was especially great at leading those people, at leading the community around him and the people that looked to him. Whenever Jesus was coming around your town, you knew about it, and you wanted to see him. You wanted to be with him. And all people could think about is, how can I get close to him? His leadership skills is truly what sets him apart from other figures in history, from other great men and women throughout history. Not to mention, Jesus was the Son of God. But they saw Jesus and his leadership as pure leadership. Pure leadership that we can fashion ourselves after. And according to Briner and Pritchard, this pure leadership is characterized primarily by the way that followers are motivated to please their leader voluntarily. And the leader typically possesses a more spontaneous personal style. So what they found is that a leader is someone who doesn't necessarily bring in prescribed notions of how we should work or how we should do this or that. As we know, Jesus came in and he brought in principles and understanding. He brought in this message that said, "You are my people. I have redeemed you." He brought in a message that helped people to know what sort of people they were, helped them to understand what it meant to be a child of God, and not just what it looked like, what it felt like on the inside. He motivated people in such a way that they voluntarily followed him. Sure, you hear him talk about these things that the Pharisees and many of the Jews had been doing, but ultimately people followed Jesus. People follow Jesus because they want to, because they see what he's done in their lives and in other people's lives. This is the difference that he possessed in his leadership skills. So we all have bosses, right? And I get a few smirks already, because whenever we think of a boss, it can come off as kind of a negative thing. Whether we are in the industry, a business, or we're in a school system or whatever it is, we all have bosses. Mike is probably thinking, let's not talk about it because his boss is sitting right next to him at the moment, right? I don't want to get you in trouble, Mike. But no matter what it is, we know that there are people in our lives that kind of lead us, right? Or they help us along. But whenever we think of the concept of being a boss, we think of something that's so negative. And if you really think about it, it's this definition of pure leadership that differentiates a good boss and a bad boss. Bear with me here as we use this terminology of boss. But simply stated, a good boss and a bad boss have very big differences. One leads while the other demands. This isn't to say that the leader doesn't establish clear boundaries, doesn't establish rules and regulations, but that is to say that for some reason, well, besides the fact that bad bosses are bossy, and the other one is well respected, for some reason, we want to do things for these good ones. We want to do things for these people who lead in a Christ-like manner. For one, you follow them because they have these rules and you feel like you might get in trouble. And most of the time, you're kind of afraid of the consequences, right? As soon as those consequences aren't so immediate and aren't in your face, oftentimes bad bosses have employees or people that are under them that do things behind their back because they're not there to enforce those rules and regulations. But a good boss, a leader, well, oftentimes they have employees or people who follow them who do things that are right, no matter who's present. Who do things that they have been taught, no matter who is watching them. This idea called integrity, right? This concept that even though the consequences don't seem immediate, we do this because it's right. And Jesus had this way of motivating people to integrity, to honesty. These leaders, they have this way of kind of getting into our head and feeling like they are always there with us. They're always a part of us. This is what Jesus offers to this idea of leadership. What if I told you that pure leadership has less to do with authority and roles and more to do with belonging? Leadership is all about belonging. Jesus, throughout his ministry, he portrays three things that I would like to highlight this morning that really make him that standout leader and that can help us in our leadership positions. He truly knows how to make people feel like they belong. For one, he does this by seeking relationship. He says things like, come to me or follow me or come down from there, Zacchaeus. Or my personal favorite, the most challenging one. If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He calls people to relationship, but not just any relationship, a relationship of action that's active and moving and always changing. Whatever it is, when he calls these people to relationship, it gets people's attention and calls them to a stronger faith in God. He also makes them feel known and understood in this relationship. And it seems as though throughout Scripture, he does this by calling his followers to this sense of belonging. He uses words such as flock or family, child, sister, brother, disciple, friend. He uses these words not just as a superficial means of saying this. He uses these words to say, you belong. You belong with me. You belong as a part of this community. If you just read the words of the gospel, you can feel the compassion that flows from Christ as he shares these words with his disciples. Next, he also protects those that belong to him. The Son of God is certainly not someone that you would like to make mad, because after all, he commands armies of angels who can do all sorts of cool things. But we know that throughout Scripture, if there's something you don't want to do, it's lead people astray. It's break up the body of Christ. Because Christ offers all sorts of warnings because he protects those that belong to him. This might sound familiar to you. He said once, but if you cause one of these little ones, referring to his disciples that are young in faith, who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone hung around your neck. Jesus, the Son of God, doesn't play games whenever it comes to his children, whenever it comes to his family. He protects those that belong to him. And finally, as we'll see this morning, he is willing to sacrifice as a leader. He sacrifices for those that he leads, and this really sets him apart from everyone else. Jesus calls people throughout his ministry, and each time he calls them, he embraces them. He welcomes them into the fold. This is the first sign of a good leader. If you're following along in your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John. We're going to be in John chapter 10. Gospel of John chapter 10. And I'll begin reading here in verse 1. It says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. Let's try to understand what he's talking about. What they would have understood was this idea of a shepherd. In the culture of the ancient Hebrews, shepherds actually held a pretty prestigious place in society. They were often the sons of the owner. They knew them very well. These sheep would have been almost part of a family. And the son, who was the shepherd, would have held a very important position in the family, to be tasked with this responsibility of caring for the flock. As Jesus explains, a good shepherd knows his sheep by name, and he leads them from one pasture to another that they may be fed. But not only does he call them by name, but notice that they also know his voice. Jesus refers to something in relationship, in his relationships especially, that is very important. You've heard the phrase, it takes two to tango, right? I don't know. I'm not very good at tangoing. I've tried it before, but I usually stumble over my own feet. But the phrase is simply saying that in a relationship, it takes two people to make this work, doesn't it? Similarly, as he speaks to the Jewish people, he calls them to remember that this relationship with God is a mutual thing. That a shepherd and its sheep, they have this mutual relationship. Not only do I call you by name, but you hear my voice and you know it. You know who I am as your shepherd. He calls them to remember that they are God's people and he is their shepherd. He will call them by name and they will follow as he forges this path to God. And for so long, at this point, God's people had been led astray by false gods and pagan cultures. But as he says, if you were a part of this fold, if you were a part of these sheep, of his shepherding, you wouldn't dare. Just as he knows each of his sheep by name, so each of his sheep know him and his voice. He tells the Jews, if a stranger comes along and offers their voice, offers to lead them, that they wouldn't hear it. More importantly, they would run from it when they do. He's reminding the Jews that if a stranger comes along and offers you candy, you don't say, oh, that looks yummy. Get in the van. Instead, you might yell, right, Bella? Say, stranger, danger. And run away. He says in verse 5, they won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. They don't know this person. They are a stranger to God's way and his calling. A good leader establishes this relationship. And as the good shepherd, he calls them to remember that they are part of the family of God. They are sheep, and he is their shepherd. Sometimes leaders aren't just calling people into a new relationship, but also calling them back into relationship, gently reminding them how much they care, how much they want them to be a part of it. Remember, he does this because he is their protector. He explains in the following verses. I'll pick up here in verse 7. It says, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. This world is full of false leaders, of false spiritual leaders that lead us astray. And Jesus is reminding his sheep of that. It was a few weeks ago now, but
went with my parents, Leanne and I, and the kids went over to the boat races that they have over at the lake. And there was a ton of people there. It was the first time I've ever been. And they were showing off all their boats, and we're walking down this corridor in between all the boats. And we finally made it to the other side, and so we're kind of taking a respite out of the crowd. And we're standing there talking. And I think it was my dad who said, where did Matthew go? And then my mom said, Matthew, that's not your dad. And I looked over, and Matthew was wrapped around this guy's leg, just looking at my mom like, what are you talking about? This is my dad. And I was like, Matthew. And I called him. He looks at me, and he looks up. He realized that was not his dad. As a matter of fact, I think he was probably about a 50-year-old balding Caucasian man. So maybe that's what I look like too. So that's why he was confused. But whenever he saw that, his eyes got big, and he looks up, and he almost like throws his leg aside and runs over to us. He was mortified when that happened. But we were there. We were there to protect Matthew, of course, to keep him close, when sometimes, as we do, we're led astray. Sometimes we're even led astray without us knowing. We think that something else is leading us to God, when in fact it's leading us away from God. There was a long period of time between the writings of the minor prophets and the Gospels in Jesus' time. Approximately 400 years passed between these times. They were used to the prophets of God, and they were used to receiving God's word. And Jesus comments on this because he knows that there has been false leaders, and there will be false leaders. Because even since Jesus' time, there's been over 2,000 years in which people have been led astray from the flock. And as a good leader, he protects them by preserving the message. And the message is, I have come for you. I am your shepherd. Follow me. And as a good leader, he protects them by providing a way for future leaders. Because notice in this parable that Jesus is not only the gate, but he is also the shepherd. He offers a way for all those who want to enter in. As he goes on to explain, he says a good leader is willing to protect even to the point of sacrifice. Let's finish reading here. It says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. A leader fashioned after Christ has to be willing to give it all. Stephen, one of the first deacons in the church, he understood this. He was the first martyr, as we have recorded for the church. And he stood before the Sanhedrin in the book of Acts, and he shares the gospel even unto death. He wasn't some grand person that did all these great things. He was just a leader that was willing to serve and willing to sacrifice. living in America, it's unlikely that we'll have this opportunity to die for a cause. But as a leader, we have to be willing to sacrifice a little something for the cause of Christ. And the Good Shepherd shows us this blueprint. He gives us an idea of what it means to be a good leader, to be a good shepherd. If we want to be a good leader, we have to be willing to seek relationship, to make people feel like they belong, like they are known, like you understand. We have to be willing to protect and willing to sacrifice. I want you to think this morning about who you lead. Yeah, Jesus, he led and continues to lead. We're not all Jesus. In fact, none of us are. Perhaps we're more like Stephen. And we're just willing to serve and we're willing to sacrifice. Who is it that God has put in your life to lead? Who are you leading and how are you leading them? Are you willing to do these four things and take a lesson from Jesus Christ himself? Before we close, I just want to be honest and say that leadership can be hard. I think for many of you, you understand that. You know how difficult it can be. Perhaps you've been leading and you've been sacrificing so much in your daily life. Perhaps you've been working hard day after day to lead just your children, your grandchildren, your friends or your family. I want you to know that leadership is finally in unity in the body of Christ. And you don't have to lead alone. If you need encouragement, if you need strength, or perhaps you're just ready to lead for Christ and want to know him more, now is the time for you to do that.